Was that not an awesome time of praise? Tom Robinson will bear me out on this. I don't go to tears very often, but that brought me to tears on that hymn at the end. Oh my gosh, I love that hymn. And not just the emotion of it all, but what that song is saying. Wow, that is powerful. What a God we serve. Hey, how you doing? Yay! I'm going to have a glass of water. Actually, what do you call this? Thank you. Brain injury, remember. Yep, that feels good. Well, anyway, I feel like I'm getting a little feedback on speaker here or something. But anyway, I found out something. Now, I got to clear this up right away because I've been asked this so many times in the last 24 hours. Did the story I actually talk about my ancestor being a Captain Lane who was a Caribbean pirate actually true? The answer is yes, that is true. That goes back, and I had an aunt who followed a lot of our genealogy and stuff like this, and I found out other stuff by researching and reading on my own. It's true. Something else I want you to know about before I get started. When I was a kid, back when the earth was cooling, you could take like a penny and go to these little like machines at like, you know, discount stores like Walmart's and things like this. And you put it in there, a nickel or a dime, and if you're really lucky, your parents give you a quarter. And you put a quarter in this little thing that had a globe on it, and you would turn the knob, and you'd hear this clanking going on, and this little thing would pop out at the bottom. And sometimes you could get these little tattoos that you could take and put them on, you know, you stick them on your hand, and then you, remember, as adults, remember doing this, and you put the, oh, you still got one, huh? And you put the tattoo on here, and then the sad part was it washed away pretty soon. They didn't last. Well, these are not real. This is a pirate crossbone and stuff, and this is a pirate with a skull cap and everything. I mean, just letting you know, I'm not tattooed, but it appears that way, because those washed off really easy. Well, I found out last night when I got home and I tried scrubbing these things off, they don't come off. And my wife says, you do know that what you were using was one that says permanent tattoo. I didn't know they made those. So she says, it says in the fine print, if you would have read this, and it says that, you know, it will eventually wear off as your skin cells come off. So I wanted to clear that up. So if you see me using my hands and you're wondering, what are these things on his hands? You know, is this a red mole? He needs to go get it, you know, excised off or something? Or what is it? Now you know. And what you have learned from this, couple of things. One, they make tattoos that can be permanent for weeks and weeks. And the second thing, I don't read instructions. So that's what I learned out of this thing here. Anyway, let's open in prayer. We're going to get started. I have one of the most interesting lessons. This is going to be fantastic. If you're into forts and cannons and stuff, a little bit like we talked about in Pirates yesterday, you're going to love this. This is really cool. But what a message for all of us. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you. Oh, the praise time we just had. Magnificent. And Lord, you alone are worthy. And we want to give you even more. And we want to just be in your presence. You are an awesome God, one that we can't even begin to fathom the wonders of how you even do things, how you interact, how you can even hear the prayers of so many people, millions and billions of people on a planet at the same time. It just boggles our minds. But we know that you are a great God, and I ask right now, Lord, that you would teach us something today. That you would, in this lesson, that your Spirit would actually move upon us. Not just to hear things, but Lord, that it would change our lives. And as you tell us in the book of Romans, that the way we live our lives is an act of worship. So Lord, help us to see how to worship you in a new way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get started with this, we're going to be talking about encourage each other and show love. That's what I've called this. And you'll notice down at the very bottom it says the church. We're going to be talking about the church today. Now, I remember back when I was a little boy, again, when the earth was cooling, and I remember sitting in a church service, and something really strange happened that I'll never forget. I don't remember the circumstances too much. I probably was only maybe 3 or 4, but I remember sitting in this very, very dark pew, probably walnut wood or something, and I remember sitting there, and there was a gal over down the pew from me, about the same age as me, and she was chewing gum, probably bubble gum. And do you guys know when I say, well, you can pop your gum in your mouth? You know, that it seems like a lost art today. You know, my mom did this all the time, you know, and we used to do, you chew the gum and you can chew it, and you get this popping sound. You're not blowing a bubble, it just pops in your mouth. I've never skilled, I don't have that spiritual gift. But this girl did. And she was sitting here, and during the sermon, the preacher's up here preaching, and she's popping her gum, and popping and popping and popping. And I was like, wow, she's talented like my mom. This is really cool. And, you know, she's just going on. There was an adult lady sitting behind her who I did not realize was getting very annoyed at this while the pastor is preaching his sermon. And as this was going on, and I'm just sitting and listening more intent to her. I mean, I was only like 3 years old. But as I was listening to her, I could see all of a sudden the lady really getting agitated. All of a sudden, she raised her hand. Now, I went to a church where, you know, some churches, you raise your hand. The church I was going to when I was a little boy, you didn't raise your hand, you know, like to go to the bathroom or something is usually what it meant to me. But she raised her hand, and, Pastor, she yelled. And the pastor stopped right in the middle of the sermon and said, what's the matter? And she said, Pastor, this girl sitting in front of me is chewing gum inside this church. And the whole place got, you know, very still, very quiet. And I was looking at this like, ooh, she's mad at that little girl. What's the pastor going to do? You know, make her sit on the couch outside, you know, in the lobby or something? I did not know. The pastor, I do remember this. The pastor said, ma'am, the building is not the church. We, the people, are the church. Now, I don't remember if he said anything else, but that caught me as a little boy, and I was like, wow, I always thought the building was the church. We call that church the building, but actually, it's the people. And we're going to get into that in the most bizarre way. Of course, I don't do things in usual, regular ways in speaking a lot of times anyway. But let's take a look. Now, yesterday I was talking to you about pirates, right? And we talked about pirates and how pirates were going around during the age when the pirates were stealing. And they were stealing primarily from Spain, from England, also from France, Portugal. They were stealing from everybody. That's what a pirate was. You didn't care what country they were from. You just took it. And so what they were doing is, here's a map of Florida I'm showing you. This is where most pirate activity took place. Now, it was in the Caribbean, but here is Florida. Now, Florida at this time in the New World was controlled by Spain over in Europe. But they had control of Florida. England had control of the northern area, what is like today South Carolina, Georgia, and stuff like this. This was part of England. France was way over here. Not many people lived in here except Native Americans. Down here was Cuba to the south. Here's the Florida Keys. The Bahamas, which are right now getting smacked by a Category 5 hurricane, are over in here. Nassau, where the pirate capital was, is about 184 miles from Miami. Miami would be right in this area. Over here is where Nassau was, where the pirate capital was. So why were all these pirates here? Because of this. Spain was sending ships down, actually through the Atlantic, to come down to Mexico and to South America, which is not even on this map. Spain was sending ships, thousands of ships, to go down there. They had captured Native Americans. This is not a nice story. They had captured Native Americans and were forcing them to dig in mines to get gold and silver out. Then they made coins of it, which I showed a couple of those like yesterday. Here, I got one, in fact, right here. This is actually a real Spanish coin from a sunken ship, the Spanish ship. It's even got the Spanish emblem on it. And so they would make the silver and gold into coins like this. And then they would put it on board these ships, and they would send it back to Spain. The route they went was almost all of them, even from South America, we could come up, sail to Cuba down here. From Cuba, you go over here to the Florida Keys, and there's a very strong current through here that the ships would take called the Gulf Stream, and they would sail up this way to go to Europe. So the pirates, the base was over here, and the pirates would sit in the Florida Keys and in these little inlets where rivers and creeks were and stuff like this along the coast, waiting for the treasure ships to go by, and they would come out and get them. That's what the pirates were doing. So that was the whole thing. Now, if you were the king of Spain, you're not too thrilled with this, with the pirates doing this, and you would like to stop this action from happening. So the king of Spain got this idea about building a fort somewhere along here that would help protect these Spanish ships and a place for the Spanish ships to come into. And so they picked a spot way up here in northern, just south of Jacksonville. They picked a spot called St. Augustine. St. Augustine. Now, the year here is 1565. Actually, the golden age of piracy hasn't even started yet, but there were a few pirates around, but it was mostly people from England and French and other countries that were doing this. But there were a few pirates around at this time, though the golden age hasn't started yet. And St. Augustine was established as a city on that Florida coast there in the year 1565. Do you know that St. Augustine is the oldest still operational village, city in the United States? Actually, in the New World. It is. Many people think it's Jamestown. Jamestown won't be established for another 40 years. About 35 years, actually. And then Plymouth, where the Pilgrims were, that was about another 10 years after that. So St. Augustine's is the oldest city. It was a Spanish city. I got asked a couple of times this week, how come I never heard about this in school? Because we're basically from the British here in this country, and we focus on the British history. But the Spanish were here first. And so St. Augustine was established in 1565. Well, then some people started attacking the place because gold is going through there. One of the most famous ones was a guy named Francis Drake. Sir Francis Drake, maybe you heard about him. He fought at the Spanish Armada. He also was the second person to ever sail all around the world. Magellan was the first. He was the second. Woods Rogers, that I told you about yesterday, was the third. Sir Francis Drake, he landed and attacked in 1585, and he burned the whole city. It was all just made of wood and stuff. They just burned it down. And, well, then they rebuilt it. And that's what was going on. This just kept happening over and over. They'd rebuild the city, and then in 1665, another pirate came by. His name was Captain John Davis. He attacked and burned the city. And he attacked. There was a little wooden fort there because the Spanish know that they're going to be attacked at times. So they built a little fort, and they made it out of what little few logs are around on the island. There's not many logs in this area. So they had very few logs of wood to build the fort out of. And they put a few cannon there. There's termites and there's storms and hurricanes that come through. And so there was problems in trying to keep a fort there. And this one was attacked, though. John Davis did not capture the fort. He burned everything else, but he did not capture the fort in his. But this just kept going on and on. And they would build these little forts. And every time they'd build a fort, they'd give it a new name. This one here was called Fort Menendez. And you can see it's just poles of wood and like some cannons. This is a recreation of it down in St. Augustine today. But it's a recreation showing you what the early forts were like. And you can see, if you're going to shoot a cannonball in that, it's going to go right through there. You're going to do some damage to people. So that's not the best type of fort. It looks more something like out of the American West during the 1880s. But that was what was being built. They'd build these forts. Hurricane comes by, destroys it. Termites would eat the wood. Cannons would come and fire on it. People would light it on fire, having all sorts of problems. Boy, it just couldn't go on because pirates kept coming through, and they would destroy the fort. 9 forts were built at that site. 9 times. I mean, you have to give something for people not giving up, right? 9 times. After like 3 or 4, I might have said, let's do something different. But no, let's just keep really building another wooden fort. And they kept doing this. And this went on and on and on. Finally, the king in Spain over in Europe says, we should build a fort a little bit different. Oh, really? You think so? And so they built a different type of fort, which is still standing today. This is the Castillo de San Marcos, is what it's called. The king hired an architect whose name was Ingracia Daza and sent him to St. Augustine to build a fort that would be made of something besides wood, be made of like stone or something, so that it wouldn't kept being burned down. This is an actual aerial shot of what this fort is today, and it's still standing. You can see it's a big square, and then they got these little, what's called a bastillion, on each end, each of the points here. And there's a drawbridge going across. There's even a moat in here when during the rainy season fills up. And so you would come over here, walk across a small drawbridge, get to this part, go across a bigger drawbridge, get inside the fort. There's cannons that were laying across here. There's cannons across here. This thing was quite amazing when it was built. It's got some beautiful today. It's a tourist site. It's a national park. It is a magnificent place. How many of you have been to St. Augustine? Just curious. Oh, look at this. Oh, probably about a fifth of you have been to St. Augustine. It is a beautiful place. I want to tell you, if you ever want to go on a family vacation, maybe not go in August because it's extremely hot, but and hurricane season, but this is a really cool place to take your kids and stuff. This is a really fun fort. But I want you to notice how this thing is built. It's made of stone. Notice it's not wood. And there are cannons. See the cannon here sticking out? This is a bell tower, a watchtower. This is facing the ocean side, so a guys would be up here, a lookout would be looking to see if any pirate ships would be coming by or the English would be coming to attack and stuff like this. And so they would be up there, and if so, he would ring a bell and they would start, you know, all the soldiers would come out and man the guns, and people who lived in the village would come running into the fort for protection. And that's how they set this up. Look at the size of this thing. The walls on this fort, the external walls, are 21 feet thick. That is huge. The back walls are 19 feet thick. This is amazing for the time frame that this was built. You know what also cracks me up? This was built in the 1600s. And you know something? It's still standing today. We can't build a road today that 5 years later is not full of potholes. Or come with me to Israel. I'll show you ancient Roman roads that still don't have potholes in them. 2,000 years old. But this is a magnificent fort. And you can see this would be very hard to attack. This is, I'm standing in the moat when I took this picture. But you can see cannons would be lined up all along here. You couldn't attack this fort from any direction. There were cannons facing every single direction. This fort was never conquered. It exchanged hands at times. The Spanish gave it to the British. Through a treaty. The British gave it to the Americans through a treaty. It was never conquered. In its long history, this fort never was conquered. Now, why? Okay, some of you are sitting here thinking, okay, yesterday he did a pirate thing. How does this get into the Bible? It has to do with what this fort is made of. When I went there and was walking around, I was fascinated by this place because there's this little island right across where St. Augustine's is sitting. It's called Anastasia Island. And Anastasia Island, it's just, there's not big trees. Notice the trees here, not very thick and stuff. But there was a type of rock there, a sedimentary rock, those of you know what that is. It's made out of ground-up seashells. And they mined it. This guy, Ignatius Deza, he actually said, let's build a fort out of this seashell type of rock. And so they went over to this little island just across the river, and they would cut into this this type of rock that's called coquina. This is a piece of coquina. Bought this in the souvenir store for under $4. Yeah, I'm a big spender. My wife knows that. Boy, I'm a big spender. I'm a high roller here. $4 for that rock. But anyway, that is coquina. This is the most fascinating type of rock. You can see people working with it. Do you know that this is made up of seashells? And when you cut it out of the ground, you didn't have to use hammers and picks and stuff. You could actually cut this. This could be cut, even this one, could be cut with a serrated knife. It could be cut with a carpenter's saw. It's that soft. And so some people were thinking, this is the stupidest thing to make a fort out of. Why don't you just build it full of sponges, you know? But this is what Daza decided to do. Let's build it out of this. And so they cut the stuff, and then they brought it over on rafts to the other side of the river, and they built this massive fort. Now, let me show you what this rock is, because this is so important to our lesson today. This is a bunch of seashells. Now, coquina is actually a bunch of seashells broken up and naturally cemented together. And this is just a whole pile of seashells. You walk along the ocean. Those of you who walked around the ocean, you collect little seashells. Most of these are really, in this rock, are really tiny little like butterfly seashells. But there's other ones too. So it's a bunch of seashells, all these different types of seashells. As the seashells are sitting here on the beach, waves come, and as waves come, it knocks them against rocks and against each other, and they break off little pieces. And you keep getting this broken up smaller and smaller till it makes a type of sand. And this is actually a picture that I took of the wall of the fort. It's hard to tell, but there are seashells stuck in this. Matter of fact, it's composed of seashells. Here's another picture. This is what the fort is made of. And they made this out of this type of seashell rock. Let me show you what this looks like under magnification. I'm going to put this coquina here, and we're going to turn this on and let you see what this looks like, the real coquina here, under the microscope. And here we go. Let's get it focused a little bit here. Okay. What you're looking at, this is a seashell. This is a seashell. All this white stuff is seashells. The yellowish stuff is a natural cement. To make coquina, you take broken up seashells, you got to grind them up, wave action will do that. You grind them up, seashells that get broken stuff go in there. You take the sand that's on the beach, other seashells that have already, and pieces of coral that's all been ground up, and you're going to pour that in there. And this is all happening naturally. And then you have calcite, which comes out of the seashell, and it's also found in the ocean water itself. And so you add calcite to this. And the thing is you mix all this together, and you add water to it, and you stir this all together. You let it dry, and when it dries, it turns into this. And then you can see this is sort of orange. The fort was gray. As this is now, if I was to take this out and let it sit in the Florida sun, which is a lot different than the Wisconsin sun, you let it sit in the Florida sun, it turns gray and gets really more hard because this is so brittle. But it's not super hard. Even that fort, you could easily go up and do things to. That's the way this coquina is. That's coquina. I'll see if I can get it a little sharper of a picture here. But now, do you understand what you're looking at? Do you see what this is? I'll turn off my keys. I sound like a jingle bell. Do you get what's happening? These are individual organisms, animals. A seashell is an animal. You get a bunch of these animals all together. You cement them together. They're all depending upon each other. And cemented together, they're strong. That's coquina. So strong that they built this fort out of it. It's not so strong, like hitting the rocks that make up the fireplace over here with a cannonball. They are so hard, they would crack. When a cannonball would hit that, it would crack and break into pieces. Coquina does not do that. No, coquina is not like that. We're going to go back to the other image now. So we have this drawbridge to get across. You can see this is all coquina. Here's, again, another. This is the bigger drawbridge. Here on the side, you can see the fort. You can see the drawbridge. This is the moat. This is all made up of individual living creatures. At one time, they're all dead now, but they're all cemented together. And then they put cannons up there. Cannons to fight the pirates and things and the enemy that would come. And they lined, there were dozens and scores of cannons of all different types up there. And here's cannons looking out over the ocean. That's the Atlantic Ocean back out that way. And they were able to defend themselves. And when St. Augustine would be invaded by, say, the British, the people in the village would come into the fort and they were safe. This fort was never conquered. It was so well preserved, so well constructed. Even, get this part here. Just within just a few years of it being completed. In 1695, it was done. That's when they finished. It took about 20 years to build this. Even that's amazing. 20 years, roughly, to build this fort. In 1695, it's done. In 1702, the British came. Governor James Moore of Charleston led his English forces from up north in what is today around Charleston, South Carolina, came down to St. Augustine and attacked this new fort. He captured the town, and he set up cannons all through the town, all aimed at the fort. But strange things happened, because the people inside the fort weren't quite sure how Coquina was going to act with cannonballs. What happened was amazing. As they fired cannons into the fort, these cannonballs into the fort, the Coquina stone just merely compressed and absorbed the cannonball, the shock of the cannonball. It didn't split, it didn't crack, it just caught it like a catcher catching a baseball. The cannon, in some cases, just bounced off. It only came in a few inches, and it worked. This was an amazing thing. The shell rock actually worked. Matter of fact, if you walk around, do you see this? What do you think caused those holes? And I'll tell you now, it's not termites. What do you think caused those holes? Cannonballs. You can see cannonballs. The holes. The cannonballs are gone, but you can see the holes that the cannonballs made as you walk around the fort. See, this? Normally, if it was just a stone fort, the cannonballs would break the stones. This didn't happen. This is an amazing thing, how this worked. Oh, pirates came at times, but now they were set. The people were protected, and so they could fire back at the cannons. And this fort has stood amazingly for over 300 years. Now, that's the history. Now let me show you how this fits with the Bible. Our theme here this summer is... This is from the God's Word translation, a little easier reading level. You receive Christ Jesus the Lord. That was what we talked about yesterday, becoming a Christian. So continue to live as Christ's people. Sink your roots in Him. Build upon Him. Be strengthened by the faith that you were taught and overflow with thanksgiving. Do you know what this is actually telling us? As Christians, each one of us is an individual Christian, but as I told you yesterday, as the pirates used to call themselves the brethren of the coast, we're brethren in Christ. We're all together in one. We need to sink our roots and we need to build on Jesus, yes. We need to get absorbed and get into this and fasten on to Jesus really tight, yes. But to do that, as we talked about yesterday, you've got to be a Christian, you've got to be born again. Once we become born again, and how do we do that? Just a little brief thing again. This is from yesterday, but God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. It was a free pardon from God. Just like King George I gave the pirates a free pardon. They didn't have to do anything, just accept it. That's how you get saved. It's a free gift from God. And God can't break His promises, so if He saves you, you're saved. Then, it's not a result of anything you've done. You can't brag about it. Now, everybody seems to know, or most people know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But you know what the next verse is? I mean, we memorize this one, and that's a great one because this tells us how to be saved. But the next verse tells us how to live. Look at the next verse. Again, out of God's Word translation. God made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that He has prepared for us to do. As Christians, we're not saved by doing good works. We are saved to do good works, to do good deeds, to be good in stuff like this. And to be bonded together. You see, the early church in Acts chapter 10, we see they're telling us a story of how Jesus was a great example of this. Acts 10:38, you know that God anointed Jesus from Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus went everywhere and did good things, such as healing everyone who was under the devil's power. Jesus did these things because God was with him. Now God is with us. We become Christians, His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You're not the same person. You're a new creation. Actually, the Greek word here is metamorpho, the same word we get for metamorphosis, like changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly. We're a new creation. And we Christians are supposed to meet together. Just as these seashells would form and this coquina would fit together to make a nice tight bond that was impervious to cannonballs, impervious to hurricanes. Think how many hurricanes that fort down there has gone through in 300 years. like 364 years. How many hurricanes have gone through, even Category 5s? That fort has stood. How many attacks have happened by pirates and the enemy? That fort has stood. It is an amazing structure. And as Christians, we are bonded together in the same way. Look what God commands us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Again, I'm out of the God's Word translation. It's a lower reading level. We must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. That's God. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. We should not stop gathering together. Whoa, did you get that? Not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. Look what this is saying. We must consider how to encourage each other. These shells in coquina were individual animals that came together, cemented, and are bonded together. And now they support each other. They are all supporting and helping each other. That's what this is talking about. And even at the end of this passage, it says, encourage each other. This is the church, folks. This is what we're commanded to do by God. That's not all. It says to show love. We're supposed to show love. Not just to fellow Christians. Jesus showed love even to people who didn't believe him. Do you ever realize that God makes it rain on farm fields of both Christians and non-Christians? He lets the sun shine on the atheist farm field just as much as he does on the Christian. God shows love and mercy. We should be doing that. That's not all. It says to do good things. We need to do good things. Is there somebody sitting in your neighborhood, kids? Somebody at school or something like that that's sort of like a loner and doesn't have any friends? How about you be the person this week when you go back? How about you be the person that goes over and sits and eats lunch with that person? Or invites him, hey, come over here. Maybe he looks a little funny. Maybe he acts a little funny. How about you be the person to do a good thing, to show love, and to encourage that person? That's what God is telling us now to do. That's still not all. We should not stop meeting together with believers. This one is so important because meeting together with believers, that's the coquina. The individual animals, the individual creatures, bonded and cemented together, are impervious to weather, to problems. They help each other. They form a fantastic wall of a fort that's been standing for over 300 years. The early church was like that. In Acts chapter 2, at the birth of the church, it says, all the believers kept meeting together, and they shared everything with each other. From time to time, they sold their property and other possessions and distributed the money to anyone who needed it. And the believers had a single purpose and went to the temple every day. They were joyful and humble as they ate at each other's homes and shared their food. At the same time, they praised God and had goodwill of all the people. Adults, when was the last time you had somebody over to your house for a meal? I was watching Dick Van Dyke. I love the Dick Van Dyke Show. Dick Van Dyke, you ever notice how many times Jerry and Millie Helper, their next door neighbors, come over just for a cup of coffee or to sit and watch the Alan Brady Show on TV or to have a piece of cake? I take notes of stuff like that. I love that. I remember my parents were always having people coming over. They would have Pepperidge Farm frozen cakes. I think you can still buy that chocolate fudge thing. And they always had one of those in the freezer, always. Whenever people come over, my mom would pull that out really fast and put on a cup of coffee or a mug of pot of coffee for them and stuff. We should be like that. I challenge you. This is church, folks. This is the church thing. The church helps us to live. The church helps us to survive. Those people in St. Augustine would run into the fort because the walls would hold and keep them safe. The church can do that. If you're going through struggles in your life, you're not alone. God, of course, is there, but also God has instructed all of us to help each other. But by belonging and going to church, it strengthens our faith. By going to a church, it can recharge our batteries. You get encouragement. You get help. Someone who's hurting, go to the church, help them. That's what God is calling us to do. And it helps us to grow spiritually and, in some cases, physically too. We are called to do that. We are the coquina, all individual people, all bonded and cemented together. What a wall of protection. And folks, in these last days of the last days, we really need it. So that's what I wanted to tell you today. Let's close. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for this fort, the Castillo de San Marcos, and how it has stood over time. And it's a great representation of how we should be. As it's made up of just a bunch of simple little seashells, God, you cement this together, and it is almost impervious. Your church is the same way. It has endured persecution throughout the centuries, yet it is still strong and vibrant, and in many places still growing. Lord, we ask that you help us to be involved, to do the good deeds, to do the good works, to look at our fellow man, whether they're Christian or not, Lord, just to show love as Jesus did. Help us to be more as Jesus was. And we thank you and praise you and ask for safety throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen.